Thank you, Jerry. And Joe, we will see you here tomorrow. And now we will talk to all y'all out there. Blue Jays fan base went from despondent to thrilled in the space of maybe an hour at the end of this game. The Jays down 4-0 to the Braves. In the bottom of the seventh inning, they rally to win it 6-5. I'll admit, I started writing a column in the top of the seventh inning talking about how the Blue Jays were 1-5 on this homestand and how they scored as many runs in the five losses combined as they scored in the one win. But then they rallied and did a tremendous job. They get three runs in the bottom of the seventh without a home run. And then a two-run homer in the eighth and the walk-off shot in the 10th to overcome the blown save by Miguel Castro, his first of his career. Brett Cecil gets a win with a shutout 10th. And Liam Hendricks. How about Liam Hendricks? Nobody's talking about this guy. But 5 2/3 innings over the course of the season, two hits shutout with a walk and 9 strikeouts, and gets out of a Colt Hines jam today. He has been a spectacular find as a reliever. Average fastball velocity is up 2 miles an hour. And right now he's one of the most reliable arms in the back of the Blue Jays bullpen. And nobody thought we would be saying that going into this season. 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. As you can hear, the voice is a little better, but still not good. So give me a call. I need your help. We're going to start with Brian in Saskatoon, listening on the Rogers Radio app. Hey, Brian.
Hey, Mike. So Danny Valencia and Steve Tolleson had a really great game today for both of them. And my question is, will we see more regular time out of them? And could you tell us, like us fans, how hard it is for players like that to come off the bench when they don't get that many at-bats?
Well, I can't really, because I don't know what it's like. But those two guys are players who are used to it because they've sort of been part-time players for Tolleson his whole career and for Valencia the last couple of years. They both are very good hitting against left-handed pitchers, and that's what they did today. They were a combined 5-for-6 against the lefty, Alex Wood. Does this translate into more regular playing time? It shouldn't. I mean, they should play against every lefty, and they probably will, but the fact that you can hit lefties and then you did hit lefties doesn't mean you can hit righties. You know, we sort of had that whole debate with Adam Lind and the whole platoon thing. The fact that Lind hit righties really, really well didn't mean he could all of a sudden start hitting lefties. And the same thing holds for Tolleson and Valencia. The fact that they hit lefties well and they continue to hit lefties well doesn't mean that all of a sudden they should be able to hit righties. And so, you know, I expect them to be playing against every left-handed starter. And I expect pinch hit at-bats from them for certain players against left-handed relievers. But no, I don't expect either one of them to start on a regular basis against right-handers unless there's an injury.
Okay, and my next question for you is, I remember Shelby Miller in St. Louis. Can you tell us what we should expect to see from him tomorrow? Like what his pitching arsenal is?
He's really good, I can tell you that. They had to give up Jason Hayward to get him. I don't think I've ever seen Shelby Miller pitch live. So tomorrow will be my first time seeing him. I know he's off to a phenomenal start to the season for the Braves. ERA, I think, is under 1 or something silly like that. You know, he's got fastball, cutter, change, slider. And he can hump it up to about 98. He's very good, but Alex Wood was very good today, and Julio Teheran was very good last night, and the Blue Jays got to him. So I expect a good pitching performance from Shelby Miller, and I expect a good pitching performance from Daniel Norris.
Okay, and they're all 24-year-olds, so that's 3 in a row.
3 24-year-olds? Who's 24?
I thought Julio, Teheran,
Teheran Wood, and Shelby? Wow. Well, that's impressive. But the Blue Jays also...
I looked it on my phone, so I was kind of like, wow, they're young.
Always trust your phone. Thank you, Brian. Appreciate the call. Blue Jays have 3 starters under 25 as well, and one of them tomorrow, Daniel Norris, is 21. And he has been so impressive in the overall. It would be great to see a good starting performance out of him. The Blue Jays got 7 innings out of R.A. Dickey today, the first time all season that a starting pitcher of theirs has made it through 7 innings. And in fact, there have only been 2 starts in 12 games this year where the starter has gotten an out after the 6th, and they've both been R.A. Dickey. Nick is in Port St. Lucie, listening on MLB.com, the spring training home of the New York Mets. Nick, welcome aboard.
Hey, how you doing?
Not so good. Keep going.
All right. Listen, I'm trying to figure out what, I don't want to get all Seinfeld, but what's the deal with the head first slides into first? 99 times out of 100, they almost result in either an out or an injury. And yet players still continue to do them despite all evidence to the contrary. Is it an instinctual thing? I mean, I know it's a hard question to answer, you know, but it just strikes me as it's a very unsuccessful play. And yet we see it, I would say, maybe at least once a week from somebody.
Here's the thing, and I can kind of, part of my history on this program and on Twitter and on dealing with, taking phone calls for 15 years and stuff, I can speak very, very knowledgeably to this. And that's not a word, but whatever. People really aren't often interested in facts when those facts contradict what they believe to be true, even though it's not true. Players, I think, believe that diving into first base is a faster way to get to the bag. And no matter how many times you tell them that it isn't, they don't believe you. They still think it is. It's like people who believe that you can get autism from immunizing your children. No matter how many times you tell them that science proves that's not true, they still think, well, I think it's true, so it's true. And players believe it gets you there faster. Some, Roberto Alomar used to say he thought it confused the umpire a little bit and might buy him a call every once in a while. But I still don't even think it's worth it, even if that's true. Because unless you dive directly into the base without touching the ground first, sliding slows you down. But the truth is, Nick, no matter how many times you tell them, they don't believe you.
Yeah, and it usually results in an injury, as Kenny Lofton well knows.
I wouldn't say usually.
Well, I mean, not usually, but
it
can,
certainly yeah. can more often than running through the bag can, that's for sure.
Yeah. All right, well, thanks a lot, Mike. Hope you
All right, I appreciate it. Ryan Goins probably would have been safe had he run through the bag in the ninth inning instead of diving head first. He was out by an eyelash. I mean, they had to replay it. It was an inch maybe. And that time on the ground before he got to first made him slower. But I don't think they do it for show. I don't think they do it because they think it means, they think the fans will think they're hustling or anything like that. I think that they honestly believe it gets them there faster. And can't convince people of the truth when they believe the truth to be something else. Blue Jays walk it off 6-5 over the Atlanta Braves in 10. Dustin is in Toronto listening on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Hey, Dustin. Justin, sorry.
Hey, Mike. Long time, first time. I just wanted to call to comment from the game, primarily today, but also yesterday, too. I've been really impressed with the series as a whole, entertainment-wise. Both games have been really, really fantastic. Dickey gave up the 4 runs, but I think it was maybe Siddle that made the comment about giving an honorable mention to be able to, you know, have, I think, 4 walks, 4 hits, give up the 4 runs early, but still grind out 7 innings, and that ends up being pretty big. I wanted to ask you, I was listening to Blair the other day, and he brought up something about maybe at some point looking at Aaron Sanchez going in the bullpen and Estrada coming out and kind of coming into that starting role. What are your thoughts with something like that?
I think Aaron Sanchez has started twice.
Yeah, no, I agree. I was a little bit surprised to hear it talked about, but it's interesting, you know, something to kind of
Yeah,
talk about
I mean, Jeff Blair's not a guy who likes to just stir the pot for the heck of it, right? So if Jeff Blair's talking about something, then he's heard it from someone who, you know, someone in good authority that this is something that the Blue Jays are considering. Now, it might have as much to do with how good Aaron Sanchez was in the bullpen last year.
Absolutely, yeah.
And how shaky at times the Blue Jays bullpen has been this year. You know, another reliable arm down there with Castro and Asuna, and it seems Liam Hendricks, is never a bad thing to have. But it also might have to do with how well Scott Copeland is pitching in Buffalo. And I think that it would be Copeland, not Marco Estrada, who would be called up to take the starting job if they take it away from Sanchez. Now, I think it's too early. I think you have to give Sanchez another two or three starts at least. And he was better last time out than he was first time out because he's got a chance to be really, really, really good. But if they're talking about it, then they're talking about it. And so there's pressure on Sanchez now every time he gets the ball. But they know just how good he can be out of the bullpen. And I think that that kind of, you know, as much as the rotation continues to struggle and the bullpen has had a few rough nights, the temptation to use Sanchez back there is going to get more and more overwhelming.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. I'm just curious to get your take on it. And then the last little comment I wanted to make, it was nice to see, you know, Martin. I wasn't expecting two home runs, but that was awesome. And hopefully it'll quiet down at least to my peer friends listening to Martin being a bum and that for at least a week or so. If he could, with those two home runs, bring him some great. So thanks, Mike. I appreciate the time.
All right. They'll quiet him down at least until Martin's next offer. He got another hit today, an RBI single. He's got just four hits all year, but he's driven in runs with every one of them. The two homers yesterday and the two-run single on opening day at Yankee Stadium. And it was a big run that he drove in today. He got the Blue Jays on the scoreboard, turned a 4-0 deficit into 4-1 that became 4-3. The Jays took a 5-4 lead on a two-run homer by Jose Bautista in the eighth. The Braves tied it up as Kelly Johnson took Miguel Castro deep to start the ninth. But Josh Donaldson with a walk-off homer, bringing some rain in the 10th inning. The Blue Jays beat the Braves 6-5. We will continue to take your calls at 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. More of your calls coming up, but first, let's listen in on the skipper. Here's what John Gibbons had to say in the wake of today's walk-off win.
You don't seem to like to do things the easy way, do you?
Well, you know, as long as you do it. You know, I mean, you look at that. I mean, that was a big win for us. You know, it really was. We've had some opportunities this year at home to, you know, maybe make a run late, you know, maybe a walk-off type thing. And been in position to do it, just hadn't come through, you know, so... Yeah, that was we definitely needed it. I don't care what time of the year it is, we needed that. And, you know, Donaldson, you know, not everybody can do that. Donaldson's, he's one of those guys, you know what, he's so focused, he's just not up there swinging at his ass. You know, he's one of those guys that, hey, I mean, he's got a plan. And if they make a certain pitch, he'll turn loose. Otherwise, he'll take his hit, you know. Yeah, big win. And, you know, the bullpen gutted it out. They really did. You know, Pilar made another great play, you know, in that one inning to, you know, to keep it tied there. Yeah, good win.
John, you already repeated big win, but I'll ask it anyway. Considering how that game was going with all the double plays and all of that through six, and considering how the homestand had gone to this point, I mean, is that one of those, I know you said it's big, but it kind of badly needed?
Yeah, that's exactly what I meant. I mean, we needed that. And, you know, I thought we had a great approach against Wood. I mean, we stayed on him. We hit a lot of balls hard, and they did make some plays. We got some hits in the middle of the field. I thought it was a tremendous approach, which, you know, I think we've talked earlier about what you need against that kind of pitcher. And, you know, even Dickey gutted it out for seven innings. You know, he didn't give up a lot of hits, but, I mean, they were big hits. You know, they were run scorers. But that seventh inning was a big inning for us to get, you know, at least get him through that and, you know, keep it close. And it helped the bullpen a little bit. But we're pretty beat up down there, so we'll see where that goes. But nice win.
Another nice relief performance by Hendricks.
Yeah, he's, you know, we talked about this all spring that, you know, that he looks like he's going to be a real good reliever in that new role. You know, he's excited about the role. He loves it. His stuff's better because he can cut it loose for an inning or two, whatever that might be, instead of starting where he's got to conserve. And, I would put it this way, he's taking great advantage of it.
Gibby, you were asked before the game about getting a chance to get Cecil in there to kind of redeem himself. How important was that for Brett, especially facing Freeman again and getting through that inning?
Yeah, I mean, big. You know, the idea was we were going to stay away from him if we could. You know, you got to remember, too, you know, it's 2 days in a row, but it's, you know, it's a day game after night game, so it's less than 24 hours. And, you know, but that final inning set up perfectly with him, you know, the three lefties coming up. It was, you know, he's just got to tighten some things up. I don't see his curveball as sharp right now. And so once he gets that going, he'll be the old guy.
John, you mentioned the seventh inning rally there, a couple of big hits from Valencia and Tolleson. Can you just talk about their performances and guys who aren't in the lineup every day?
Well, I mean, they're here to hit lefties, and that's just what they did. They're very good at it. They're two of the better ones in baseball. I mean, you just look what they've done in their career. And Danny had a huge day. He got the hit off the righty, too, you know, for a perfect day. And, you know, it's not easy. We haven't seen a lefty in a while. Those guys have been sitting there. They haven't had a whole lot of action. That makes it that much tougher. But you know what? They came in and that's their job. They know it. They prepare for it, and they produce.
John, when you say we'll see where that goes with the bullpen, are you implying there may be a move in advance of tomorrow's game, or are you going to try and sneak through to the off day?
Well, we might have to. I mean, we're pretty beat up down that pen, so we'll see. Very observant.
John, Donaldson's really thrived since you put him into the two-hole. Is there anything to that, and do you think that's going to become a permanent spot for him?
Yeah, I don't think it's anything just, you know, because he's in that slot, it's changed anything for me. I mean, he's just a good hitter, and he's hot. He's swinging the bat well. But, you know, I mean, you look at, you know, they flashed something up on the board the other day. I was looking at it, you know, now the, you know, the one of the big stats is wins above replacement. I think he was up, there was four guys up there. He was up with, the two MVP guys and the Cy Young winner or whatever, you know, all that. Which, you know, I mean, that says it all right there. So, shock we were able to get him, but, you know, so happy that we did. He brings something different. Forget the fact that he's just a good player. You know, he brings something to that clubhouse. You know, he has energy. He's a fun-loving guy. But once that game starts, it's all baseball. You know, he just doesn't sit there on the bench in a fog. You know, he's talking baseball. He's cheering for his teammates. And it's legit. It's not the, you know. You know, Russell Martin's the same way. That's what they are. You know, that's the big reason they're here, or big reason we targeted them, you know, with it. Because they bring that something else, you know. They're not sitting there just dwelling on their, you know, what they're doing as an individual. You know, winning means something to them. And I mean, that's, you go around that clubhouse, you the coaching staff, I mean, it's pretty obvious. Every one of those guys will tell you that. There's just something different about those two guys, and that's something we desperately needed.
And there clearly is just something different about those two guys, Josh Donaldson and Russell Martin. As Donaldson walks it off, Martin contributes an RBI single, and the Blue Jays beat the Atlanta Braves 6-5 in 10 innings. I'm Mike Wilner. This is Blue Jays Talk, and we're taking your calls at 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. And John Gibbons dropping a hint right there. We're going to keep our eye on what's going on. The Blue Jays bullpen is quote unquote beat up right now. And the Blue Jays may have to make a roster move right now before the game tomorrow to get some help up in here. Barry Davis already speculating it might be Jeff Francis for Colt Hines. I don't know if the Blue Jays want to expose Hines to waivers, maybe lose him, and then when you bring Francis up, he's out of options, so you might have to expose him to waivers, lose him if you want to send him down. I don't know if Steve Delabar might be an answer, but they may well surprise us. We'll see. It's a little surprising, too, with an off day on Monday that they're thinking about making a move. We'll keep our eye out and see if the Blue Jays do make a roster move sometime before we're off the air at 5 o'clock Eastern time. We are on the air on the network across the country to the bottom of the hour, and then we'll continue to take your calls again until 5 o'clock Eastern on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and on sportsnet.ca/590. Bruno in Toronto, listening on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Bruno, welcome to Blue Jays Talk. Go ahead.
Hi. Constant listener, first-time caller. Mike, I want to thank you for bringing me back into baseball, because I gave up on baseball when Major League Baseball went on strike and killed my Expos. But I love listening to you. You drew me back into the game and teach fans how to be patient a bit. I got two questions. First question is about making the Australian the closer.
Well, I don't have a problem with Castro.
Yeah, but do we preach patience and give up on Castro, or just stay with it and then Cecil and see if they get back into it? Or?
Well, I mean, he gave up a run today. He'd never given up a run in his an earned run in his major league career before.
True.
You don't need to preach patience, I don't think, after one blown save, do you?
Well, I just love the Australian.
Well,
I'll stay patient. Second question, do we go back to the earlier in the season you had mentioned we probably had the best 3-4-5 put together. Do we bring Donaldson back to the fifth spot and see how Martin goes? Or
no, and I don't think I said the Blue Jays had the best 3-4-5. I said they have the best trio of hitters. And I think they're better placed 2-3-4 than at 3-4-5. I want them up as often as possible. You know, there's no need to have a lesser hitter batting in front of the three great guys. You don't want to lead one of them off because you don't want to guarantee that they'll come to bat with nobody on at least once a game. So that's why you do 2-3-4 instead of 1-2-3. But I'm really happy with Josh Donaldson hitting second, and not just because he's done so well hitting second, but because that's, you know, those three guys should be hitting second, third, and fourth for the Blue Jays in some order.
Correct. Yeah, and it was nice to see Travis move up to the.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's earned it, no question.
Yeah, the guy's on fire.
Definitely.
Thank you very much. I'll let other callers get in.
All right, thank you. I
Thanks,
appreciate the
better.
Kind words. Thank you very much. Yeah, I know baseball in this country lost a lot of people after 1994, and hopefully they all came back as soon as they realized that they all came back to hockey really quick. But I know there are some who are still out there on the margins, and hopefully you understand what happened in 1994 and understand that it was over 20 years ago and it's time to come back. Nathan is in Thornhill. Nathan, you're up on Blue Jays Talk. Go ahead.
Mike, always a great play-by-play work you do, and also your analysis is without equal. What I wanted to say, why aren't we seeing more of Justin Smoak? You know, DHing or pinch hitting or...
I think that what it really comes down to is that John Gibbons loves Deonner Navarro's bat. And Deonner Navarro got some big clutch hits for the Blue Jays last year. And those are things that stick with a manager. I don't know if Gibby maybe feels a little bit for Navarro that he kind of got, his job taken away from him, even though he had a solid season with the acquisition of Russ Martin. But I think that Gibby prefers Navarro to Smoak. I think we can see that from the fact that he pinch hit for Smoak with Navarro the other night in a situation where Smoak is far likelier to run into one and tie the game than Navarro is. But that's the reason, I believe. I think he feels like he needs to get Navarro at bats, and he feels like Navarro's a better hitter. And that's why we're not seeing a lot of Justin Smoak. There you go. We will continue to take your calls. Again, 416-870-0590. *590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. The Blue Jays walk it off with a 6-5 win over the Atlanta Braves in 10 innings. They're back to .500 for the season at 6-6. It's the Honda Post Game Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Every Encarnacion home run makes you hungry for chicken wings. Let's hope you can eat a lot of chicken wings. This is Blue Jays Baseball on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Back here at Rogers Center, the Blue Jays beat the Braves 6-5 in 10 innings. They were down 4-0 in the seventh, but they rallied for three in the seventh without a home run. They got a two-run homer from Jose Bautista in the eighth. And after Miguel Castro gave up a home run to Kelly Johnson to lead off the ninth, the Blue Jays won it anyway. A walk-off home run by Josh Donaldson in the bottom of the 10th, his third home run of the season and third in the last two games. Bad news for the Toronto Raptors today. They opened up their series with the Washington Wizards with an overtime loss at home, falling by a score of 93-86. The Wizards outscored them 11-4 in overtime. Paul Pierce led all scorers with 20 points. Amir Johnson with 18 to lead the Raptors. On the diamond right now, Chris Bryant has an RBI single, and the Cubs are up on the Padres 4-2 in the bottom of the seventh. Nothing-nothing Orioles and Red Sox in the bottom of the second. White Sox beat the Tigers 12-3. The Blue Jays and Braves will wrap this series up tomorrow. We're on the air at 12:30 p.m. Eastern for a 1:07 first pitch. 21-year-old Daniel Norris will make it up against tough Braves righty Shelby Miller. Make sure you join us for that. Blue Jays talk continues on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan and sportsnet590.ca. You've been listening to Home Hardware Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by Home Hardware. Homeowners helping homeowners with expert advice. For Jerry and Joe, Tom Brandeo, Jason and Head, goodbye.
Yes, a snack would go good with the game. Thanks for asking. Toronto Blue Jays baseball continues on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
There's a high fly ball deep left center field. Yes, sir, the Blue Jays have taken the lead. There she goes.
First baseman.
Number three makes it 5-4 Blue Jays.
That is how the Blue Jays almost completed the long climb back. They were down 4-0 going into the seventh inning, 4-3 into the eighth. And when Josh Donaldson got an infield single and then Jose Bautista did that, gave the Blue Jays a 5-4 lead. Kelly Johnson tied it up with a home run to lead off the ninth inning, but the Blue Jays won it in a walk-off. Josh Donaldson with his third home run in the last two games, and the Blue Jays beat the Braves 6-5 in 10 innings. I'm Mike Wilner. This is Blue Jays Talk. We're taking your calls up to the top of the hour, so get to dialing at 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. Before we get to the next call, how about we hear from the walk-off hero, the bringer of rain? Here's what Josh Donaldson had to say after the game.
Win needed for you guys today.
I mean, I think it helps. I mean, you know, I feel like we've been playing pretty well late, but, you know, we've kind of just haven't been able to push that last run across to win. Tonight it was nice to do that.
Josh, do you feel like you're settling into a nice little group now?
Yeah, I feel pretty good at the plate right now and just kind of getting comfortable with the environment and everything. And, you know, I think what's great about this lineup is it can be anybody any given day. We have a lot of guys in here that are very capable of shouldering the load. And, you know, today it was just my turn.
John, was you relish big moments like that?
Say that?
You relish big moments like that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's something as a baseball player, as any competitor, you enjoy moments where you can that you can win the game for your team. And it's just something that, for me personally, that, you know, I take hold of that.
Josh, were you looking off speed on that home run, or were you just reacting?
No, I mean, I was just looking for something out over the plate that I could drive right there, and it just happened to be a changeup.
Can you talk about some of the smaller plays that, you know, obviously the home runs look big, but, you know, as Ari was saying, you know, there's Pompey running out that ground ball to get the base hit, and so many other little things that kind of added up to those runs.
Yeah, I think when you do the little things right, it ends up being a big thing, and you see those results happening today with the examples that you said, and playing pretty good defense behind him as well. you know, it's just one of those things where you're never out of the game until the 27th out is made. In this case, you know, when you go extras, but you know, it's just one of those things you can't lose sight of. You know, really grinding out the entire game, and I thought we did a pretty good job of that today.
Do you feel more comfortable in this lineup than you did, say, opening game?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's one of those things. Anytime at the beginning of the year, you're going to have those early season jitters and kind of trying to get comfortable and settle in. And, you know, being able to settle in a little bit earlier, it's nice. And, you know, we have, like I said earlier, we have a lot of guys that are very capable in this lineup.
Were you hitting the lineup? Does it matter to you at all, two-hole, fifth-hole?
No, I mean, it's just a position. I mean, the two-hole, what it allows me to do is get more bats normally in the game. With that being said, it's also nice to have Jose Bautista hit behind you.
Yeah, it is awful nice to have Jose Bautista hitting behind you. So Josh Donaldson hits a changeup out of the ballpark off of Sugar Ray Marimon. And, yes, that's his name, Sugar Ray Marimon. To win it for the Blue Jays, they beat the Atlanta Braves 6-5. And interesting to hear, and you know, you kind of get into a hitting philosophy a little bit there. Interesting to hear. You always hear a guy say, yeah, I wanted to, you know, get a pitch out over the plate that I could drive, of course. It happened to be a changeup. That's the interesting part to me, because most guys who are sitting on a pitch out over the plate to drive will foul off a changeup or, you know, be so far out in front of it that they'll completely miss it or hit a little weak ground ball. And he belted it out of the ballpark. 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Back to the phones we go. Tom in Scarborough, welcome to Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hey, buddy, how's it going? I was just going to say, you do a really good job answering everyone's questions, but I think some of us were kind of wondering a little bit more about you. I was just wondering, who is your favorite baseball player of all time? Who is your favorite Blue Jay currently? And what's your favorite stadium to travel to and why? I'll listen off the air. Thank you.
Well, wait, before you hang up, let's clarify something. When you say favorite baseball player of all time, do you mean on the field? Do you mean off the field? Like, you know, my favorite player or a guy to interact with or stuff like that?
I guess, like talent-wise, like who is the most impressive player on the field, I guess,
okay,
is what I would like to know. And just why.
Well, I think for me it's Barry Bonds. He's the best player I've ever seen. And I know that legacy is tainted, without question. His legacy is tainted. But I think a lot of other guys' legacies are tainted as well, and he was still so much better than everybody else. It was silly. He's hit the longest home run I've ever seen here. He was incredibly talented at every facet of the game. And I wish I'd gotten to see him more. I think there have only been three games that the Giants played here when Barry Bonds was playing, and those are the only three games I got to see him. And I saw him hit one off the auxiliary scoreboard, the one that's beside the big video board in center field that has the ball strike out count on it, that aligns basically with the facing of the 500 level, a little higher than that. And that was just an incredible home run. I don't think he's my favorite ball player, but I think he gets a bad rap because he's easy to hate and he was a jerk. And so, you know, if he was a nice, smiley guy like David Ortiz, he'd be in the Hall of Fame. But he's the best I've ever seen. Favorite to deal with? There are a lot of really, really nice guys. I'm growing very, very fond of Devin Travis very quickly.
All of us are.
John McDonald, for me, is the best that I've ever dealt with, human being-wise, as a ball player, and he sets the bar incredibly high. But there have been a lot of really, really good people around here. And best stadium, road stadium?
Yeah.
I've liked a lot of them. I guess Seattle is the first one that comes to my mind, so I'll say Seattle. It is a beautiful ballpark, and when you're out on the concourse, you can actually see Mount Rainier in the distance, which is incredibly cool. When the roof closes, it kind of looks like a flying saucer is landing. And maybe I'm biased a little bit by how much Blue Jays content there is and the amount of fans that come down from B.C., but there are a lot of really nice ballparks. Kauffman Stadium in Kansas City is gorgeous. Miller Park in Milwaukee. AT&T in San Francisco. Petco in San Diego. A lot of really, really, really nice ballparks. But I think Seattle probably stands out as the nicest that I've seen.
Oh, cool. Thank you for taking my call.
All right. No, thank you for asking. Appreciate the call. And we'll continue to take your calls, 416-870-0590, star 590, and long distance, 1-888-666-0590. That was a bit spooky there. I was surrounded by Toms from Scarborough for a second, one on the phone and one right behind me in here.
Worst thing.
It's a horrible thing.
Close to Bermuda.
I almost got swallowed whole. Garvey is in Scarborough as well. Hey, Garvey.
Hey, Mike. How are you doing today?
There you know.
Yeah, hanging in there. I hope you get better soon. Excited that the Jays won today. I actually turned off the game in frustration of the Raptors game, and they shut off the TV, and I'm pleasantly surprised. But my question today...
Weren't they already tied at least, or hadn't they taken the lead by the time the Raptors game was over?
No. I think it was 4-0 at the time. I turned it off. Yeah, it was about 9 left in the fourth quarter. Anyhow...
All right, you turned the Raptor game off early. Gotcha.
Right. My question for you... is regarding Aaron Sanchez. I mean, I love the kid. I think he has end of game stuff. And I was thinking maybe a switcheroo with him and Estrada, but a friend of mine actually suggested Roberto Osuna as well. And I just wanted to, you know, hear your comments on that as far as moving Sanchez to a setup or a closing role and maybe putting, a vet like Estrada in there or just a beast like Osuna in the fifth. Starting position.
Well, I don't think we're going to see Osuna start this year at all. He's just coming off of Tommy John surgery and only pitched, I don't know, he even pitched 40 innings last year. So I don't think we'll see that. I think Asuna's future is still in the rotation at some point. So I think knock Roberto Osuna out of your thinking. He's going to be in the bullpen, I would imagine, all year as long as he continues to be successful in the major leagues. Estrada's always a possibility to go back in a starting role. I think he reminds me very much, not necessarily stuff-wise, but usability-wise, of Carlos Villanueva. He's a guy who can go back and forth and can do it pretty easily. So if you need him, he's there. But right now, I don't want to... I mean, what's the point of giving Aaron Sanchez... a job in the rotation if you're going to yank it away after two starts?
No, absolutely. I was just envisioning, you know, Sanchez, Osuna, Castro, and Cecil at the back end of our pen as just lockdown pitchers that would, you know, hold and win and save some games for us. It's early, but that's where the trend is. Our pen is kind of giving up games, so it's kind of seems, but it was just a thought, and thank you for answering the question. I appreciate it. Go, Jay.
Okay.
Go.
All right. I appreciate it. And we'll see. We'll see how long Aaron Sanchez stays in the rotation. It really does seem like the vultures are circling already, not just from the calls we're getting, but, I mean, again, there's a reason that a guy like Jeff Blair is talking about that. It's because he's hearing it from people who make decisions in the Blue Jays front office. And so... Well, we'll see. We'll see how short the leash is. And again, as I mentioned earlier, I think a lot of it has to do with what they saw out of Sanchez in the bullpen last year and with what they know he can do out of the bullpen. And that temptation is so strong to have him as part of what, like what Bruno said, could be a lockdown bullpen with Castro and Osuna and Cecil and, you know what, let's say it, Liam Hendricks, who's been so outstanding so far this season. The temptation is there, and the temptation is strong. So I wonder how many more chances Aaron Sanchez is going to get in the rotation. Although, again, his last start was fine. It still wasn't good, but it was fine, and much better than the start in Baltimore. And I really think that if you're going to give a guy a starting job, you should commit to at least six starts. No? 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell. Long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Rocky in Markham. You're on Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Go ahead, Rocky.
Thanks for taking my call. I want to talk about Steve Delabar. His numbers have been good so far in the in AAA. We know that many people were surprised that he was demoted to the minors. Do you think he's going to get called up anytime soon? And another player I want to talk about, I was listening to Baseball Central, Vermont Fields. I was doing a little bit of my homework, and when I looked at his numbers, it was pretty insane. He had 40 steals in 72 games last year, and he only got caught 9 times. And they say that it's possible that he might get a September call-up. I would like to hear your opinion about both of those, and what do you think about when Ramon Fields gets called up in September, if it's possible, because I know right now he's playing for Dunedin at this moment.
Yeah, Ramon Fields is playing for Dunedin right now. I'm the guy who said he should get a September call-up, so my feelings about that are pretty obvious. I think that Ramon Fields could be to the Blue Jays what Terrence Gore was to the Kansas City Royals last year in September, a guy who plays great defense and a phenomenal set of wheels off the bench who can be a really, really, really valuable weapon. So
right.
If the Blue Jays are in the race, and I expect them to be in the race, I would think that Fields is going to get called up in September just to do that.
He could also play a role. Like, I remember a player named Nook Logan. He also had a set of wheels that he would fly. Another player I want to mention about is A.J. Jimenez. I thought that he was going to get called up last September, but I think was he injured? I'm not sure why he didn't get called up, but I know right now he's injured. Do you think he's going to get called up anytime soon? Because we know that Navarro is available, or once he gets traded, some people believe that Toley's going to get called up and pitch for Ari Dickey, but Russell Martin has been doing a good job thus far, and I would like to see A.J. Jimenez and see what he has in the majors.
Yeah, but how are you going to get a look at that if you only see him catch every 5 or 6 days?
That's true, but I would like to see a little bit of it. But I know, but it's possible that he might get called up in September as well. But, you know, we know that he has good defense, like he has a good arm and stuff. But I know his bat has been inconsistent. But I would like to see the kid, you know, see what he has maybe as a backup role, right? So.
Yeah, I don't think the Blue Jays are in a see-what-he-has mode right now. I think that if Deonner Navarro does get moved, you'll see Josh Toley up, and he'll catch R.A. Dickey, and Russ Martin will get that mental day off, and it'll be very good for him, and he'll catch everybody else. I believe that's how it's going to – I don't expect to see A.J. Jimenez. I mean, again, maybe in September. You always need an extra catcher in September. Last year, the Blue Jays called up George Gutierrez. And if they don't have anybody like that, then probably. But I don't expect to see Jimenez. I appreciate the call. And as for Delabar, he's thrown 3 innings in Buffalo. He hasn't walked anybody. He's only got 1 strikeout. And he's given up a couple of hits. So I don't know quite what you can read into that. From Delabar, the Blue Jays again saying that they might make a roster move for the bullpen before tomorrow's game. Could be Delabar. It absolutely could be Delabar. We shall see. I really don't know what they're thinking, where they want to go for 1 game, right? It's 1 game. I mean, you may want a guy who can give you some length, and that's why it may be a Jeff Francis who's been starting down there. Because I would assume that if you're going to call somebody up for tomorrow, it's just in case Daniel Norris can't get out of the 4th inning. We shall see. Robert in Toronto. Hey, Robert.
Hey,
Yeah, you do an excellent job on the radio.
Ah, thank you. So do you.
I have a question I wanted to ask you. Maybe you know. Has there been any talk of adding John Olerud to the Blue Jays' Ring of Honor?
The level of excellence.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, level of excellence.
I have not heard any John Olerud level of excellence talk. I would think that the next guy to go up there is going to be Roy Halladay.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe Tom Henke, I think, should go up there as well. Olerud had a fine career with the Blue Jays, no question about it. And he won a batting title, and he was a big part of those World Series teams.
I was curious. So.
Yeah, and I haven't heard nothing about it. I'll say that.
I'm surprised because he is the only Blue Jay ever to win the batting title, and he was also a big part of them winning the back-to-back World Series.
Yes, he was.
And he came up as a designated hitter in 1989 and did an excellent job and took Fred McGriff's spot when they traded him away. I was just curious if there's been any talk about it. I've never heard any. I figured you might know.
Well, I don't know what they're discussing, but I know I haven't heard anything about it.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. You do a great job on the radio.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate the call. I wonder when they're going to do Halladay, now that he's retired. He's been retired for a year and a bit. You would think that the time is coming soon. Right now, the level of excellence has, as far as players are concerned, Carlos Delgado, Tony Fernandez, Joe Carter, George Bell, Dave Steeb, and Roberto Alomar. Non-players, you have Pat Gillick, Cito Gaston, Paul Beeston, and Tom Cheek. But that's it right now, as I look out onto the level of excellence, and those are some excellent Blue Jays. Halliday's got to be next, doesn't he? We're next tomorrow, 12:30 Eastern, for a 107 first pitch. Daniel Norris against Shelby Miller. Blue Jays have a chance to win a series. It would be their third series win out of four to start the season. Thanks to all of you for calling. We'll see you tomorrow.